Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. This morning we are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. My name is Colin Worthington. Time right now is 8:30-ish. Maybe you'll remember last week, I believe last Friday, we spoke with some members of the ACE Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit, a multi-agency unit consisting of Carrollton Police Department members, Carroll County Sheriff's Office deputies, and the University of West Georgia Police. I had a very interesting conversation there. Got a lot of views on Facebook. So this morning, we're going to do a part two with two other individuals. And, of course, Chad Taylor is here to get them started. But before we do get into the program, let's give away some money, the Random Christmas Trivia Cash Giveaway. Today, going to ask you question number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this will be question 5 out of our 12 daily questions. Now, I'm going to ask you the question. We know the answer. Visit our website at newstalk1330.com. Click the Random Christmas Trivia banner. You're going to enter your name, your email, your phone, and, of course, your answer. Just one entry, or I'm sorry, one entry from the correct answers will be picked at random daily, and that contestant will win $100 cash. Now, we're asking that you only enter once per day. If you do enter more than one time per day, our elves will disqualify you for that day. Then on December the 16th, one of our 12 daily winners, along with a 13th winner selected at random that morning, will have a chance to turn their $100 into $1,000 cash at a live remote broadcast, which will be at the Amp on Bradley Street in Carrollton. So here is today's question: about how much older was Jesus' cousin John? Again, go to our website, newstalk1330.com. Now we bring in the Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit. Good morning, gents.
Good morning.
Chad, a very familiar face on this program. Two new gentlemen here joining us. First time I've got to meet them. We've got Deputy Kent Evans, Corporal Kyle Marshall, and, of course, Chad Taylor. I guess the first thing to point out is, you know, last Friday's guests, I mean, they were plainclothes guys wearing the hats and, you know, toboggan, T-shirt, and, you know, baggy blue jeans, but these gentlemen are in full uniform. What's the difference?
Yeah, that's also, thanks for having us. This is kind of unique. This is the first time we've been able to do this where we get to show the other side of ACE. And the guys that came in last week, they're investigators. They work plain clothes, kind of work a little bit more covert. And these guys are a little more overt. They work true crime suppression. As you can see, they're in uniform. Marked cars, they deal with a lot of complaints. They get in those high crime areas and really work. They conduct traffic stops, warrant service. They actually wear a lot of hats.
And last week, the guys we had in them, they were with the Carrollton Police Department. These guys are with the Sheriff's Office, so it does show that you guys are working together in this unit.
Yeah, Kyle's with the city. He's a corporal with the city.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah,
and Kent is a deputy with the Sheriff's Office. But both really, they're rising stars with both agencies and do a really, really good job for us.
And they both have the cool ACE hats.
Certainly. Yeah. Certainly. They've got to have a little swag. We talked about that last week.
You want to talk about how the ACE came together initially? I mean, what was there one thing that kind of sparked it, or a trend noticed, or is this something you saw from other departments elsewhere?
So, no, ACE, I believe, is that next year will be its 15th year, 16th year.
Wow.
It was set back in the day with who now Lieutenant Matt Howard, Meredith Browning was a part of that, Shane Spradlin.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I remember them being in the way back corner of the office. I knew they did something different, but I didn't realize that was part of it.
We actually have a couple of guys that are with our departments that are sons of those guys. You have Cody Kennerly, who's the son of Matt Kennerly. He's one of the original guys. And Dylan Maxwell, who was the son of Deputy Maxwell, who was also one of the original Ace guys, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's talk about what they do on it. On you know, I guess you're more overt. You guys are seen out there more than the guys who are kind of working behind the scenes, I guess. But talk about the crime suppression as far as that being your role.
All right, so basically what we do is our job is to assist the plainclothes guys. One of our main jobs is to assist the plainclothes guys in if they've got a target we're watching, to get in that area, try to stop some cars or assist them in stopping a target car maybe they're looking at, or just get in areas and do cold stops if we don't have a specific target we're looking at, or we can just sit on a normal road where we know there's a lot of people coming up and down through there maybe with warrants or just a high crime area or narcotics or whatever we're looking for on day to day. We do that, and we'll do cold stops that way or target stops to help them out at either a location or just in the area. We also are requested by the Marshal Service a lot to do warrant services with them. I'll touch on that in a minute. And then we help the felony probation guys and over on Maple Street, Department of Corrections and Community Supervision, and going out and doing their probation checks if they've got warrants or we're wanting to do a probation check, and help them make sure that they're not still either holding narcotics, distributing narcotics, or stuff like that. They'll call on us a lot to do that, and we work hand-in-hand with those guys.
And then how did you guys – I mean, I guess what's the rule to have authority for you to work within the county, you know, other than just the city?
So basically I'm in a very unique position. Obviously he works for the sheriff. We all work for the sheriff, but I was sworn in by the sheriff, so I have jurisdiction in the entire county just as he does. Mm-hmm. And that actually fell in my lap when I worked traffic. I was in traffic for about a year before I came up, actually before I was promoted to corporal. And when I was in traffic, what happens, why some of the traffic guys are deputized is because we work wrecks in the city, and a lot of times people live in the county. So you have to go out there, you know, hit and runs, crash investigations, fatality investigations. A lot of times they live in the county. So if we're going to go out there and conduct business accordingly, they deputize us that way. And the same thing here, I'm allowed to do traffic stops out into the county under that, you know, being sworn in.
Both of you guys appear to be relatively young fellas. What was the interest? I guess we can start over here. Give Kent a chance to talk here a little bit. But, yeah, what got you guys interested in being officers to begin with?
So I started when I was 19, and I started in the jail, wanted to help people, got out on the road and when I was 20 and saw – You know, I'll say this, everybody is good at one thing usually, that, you know, you have your niche that you're good at. Mine was not domestics. As a 20-year-old, I did not enjoy domestics because you're telling 40-year-old people that have been married for 20 years on how to live their life. But what I was good at was, like, drug enforcement and stuff like that. So I found my niche, and I got into that, and I liked helping people, not just taking them to jail, but if I can get you to where you stop using drugs it'll help you in the long run.
You did you have a family member or anything? I mean, mom and dad. I mean, what was it in you that made you want to do that? I mean, and I ask that now because it seems like it's harder and harder to recruit good officers.
So, my mom was a teacher, so she, you know, always helping kids, teaching stuff like that. My dad was in law enforcement in the 90s, and so just hearing his stories and then hearing my father-in-law's stories. Because he works here, and just knowing, hearing all the things that he did made me really want to get into it.
All right, Deputy Ken Evans, how about you, Corporal? Kyle Marshall, Corporal.
Yeah.
Kyle,
so basically, I born raised here, was dead set against law enforcement for many years. I really was. So did odds and ends things, then decided I was going to go into the military. So I went in the military and came out, decided that's what I wanted to do. I actually tried law enforcement before the military. That was about the 09, I think the first recession, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So went to the military, came out, walked on here, thought that I wanted to work narcotics, didn't really know. I was really open-minded until I made my first narcotic arrest, and then I was like, no, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do right there. So I basically just molded myself, followed the stepping stones to come up here. I really started looking at ACE really hard early in my career. I'm new and set my sights on that. That's what I want to do. Went to a lot of interdiction, criminal behavior, criminal interdiction classes, hidden compartments in cars, worked traps. I've molded my whole career as to where I'm at today, and That's it.
I got to go back and say, why were you so dead against law enforcement?
I just did, that really wasn't in my sights. I wasn't dead against it. Like, I always had, you know, healthy respect for law enforcement. Yeah, I wasn't just a criminal out here. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just really wasn't what I wanted to do. I really didn't know what I wanted to do.
That'd have been a good story, though.
Yeah, sure.
If you were, yeah. All right, guys. Time right now is 8:40. We're going to take our first break. We'll continue our conversation with representatives of the Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit. Got Chad Taylor here, Deputy Kent Evans, and Corporal Kyle Marshall. Any questions or comments, feel free to post those on the News Talk 1330 Facebook page, and we'll share those during the program. First break right now. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. Thanks for watching us on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. I already see Ashley Halsey watching us and Dan Dixon checking in. So, yeah, thank you for tuning in this morning as we talk with representatives of the Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit. I've got Chad Taylor, Deputy Kent Evans, and Corporal Kyle Marshall with us. I guess about a month ago, well, I guess it was 2 months ago, a gentleman named Floyd Acklin, he's got a history. He's been in the system for quite a bit, aggravated assault charges, and he ended up leading police, I believe, on a police chase and breaking loose in Villa Rica and stayed on the run for about maybe a solid month, maybe 5 weeks.
Yeah, I think it was about six to eight weeks, something like that.
Yeah, well, were you guys part of the bringing him in eventually?
Eventually we were. So, unfortunately, Deputy Evans here missed out on both days of that extravagant adventure. But so basically, we were touching back on how we were requested by other agencies. We were requested by the Marshal Service, the United States Marshal Service, to basically locate and apprehend Floyd Acklin. So they knew that he was up in the Dallas area in a vehicle. We knew what vehicle he was in. We pretty much staged in the top side of the Carroll County because we knew where he was coming back to. And another deputy that was just a part of our aggressive criminal enforcement unit that's attached just like Deputy Evans here is Deputy Jeff Addison. He's not with us today. We actually have three MART units, but he's not with us today. He's actually down at Jip's Ticket Sniper School.
Yeah, and you know, I talked to Jeff this week. I was supposed to do something, and now I forgot. Oh, well.
That's okay. Sorry, we can revisit Jeff. It. So, okay. So he was there with me. He was staged in the area of Old Draketown Road and Rainy Road. I was staged at 101 and Rainy Road up in the Villa Rica area. We were just waiting. We waited on this guy for about 3 hours, and Deputy Addison just spotted him. Drove right by Deputy Addison. He took a route that we thought he was going to take. It was just luck. A lot of what we do is luck. We're pretty good, but a lot of it's luck. So he drove right by us. We tried to conduct a felony traffic stop on him. He stopped and let a female out of the truck at the Dollar General on 101. I kind of saw what was fixing to happen, so I took over. I tried to go around Deputy Addison. He actually initiated the traffic stop. And Floyd took off from me before I could get him pinned in. And we went on a 32-mile car chase through three counties for like 26 minutes. And a lot of it, we went down a dirt road, which pretty much took Deputy Addison out of the fight with me. And it was just me and Mr. Acklin on this dirt road because he couldn't see. So we ended up going down some hunting property down a four-wheeler trail through a swamp to eventually where my car was disabled. His vehicle was disabled as well.
You think he was familiar with that property?
He was.
Yeah.
So about six, seven weeks later, it was right after Halloween, someone had spotted Floyd Acklin trick-or-treating with his children. because the demise is our kids. Like, they, you know, Dad, I want to go trick-or-treating. You're going to carry your kid trick-or-treating. So someone had spotted him trick-or-treating, gave a tip. It followed back to a residence to where the marshals pinned him down. And we went out there, and lo and behold, he was in the house. So.
Wow. And he was. It was alleged that he may have been stole a truck from Villarica. That's
correct.
Villarica,
yeah.
Truck.
Alleged.
And then got stuck on the train tracks where it was hit by a train.
Correct. So correct.
You guys do believe that was him?
Do believe that was him.
Yeah. I remember when the stories were out there and the pictures of him were out there, you know, for people to find him. I mean, people claiming to be family members were like, oh, no, he's long. I mean, they're putting this on social media. I don't know if it was on purpose to throw you guys off, but they were suggesting, oh, yeah, he's long gone. There's no reason for him to be here. So, but then you talk about with him taking his kids trick-or-treating.
Right. He was here, but he wasn't here. He had areas he was living to one. Because I was actually the one transporting him back to the jail. We talked all the way from way up north of the county where I brought him, where I picked him up at. But he was in Alabama a lot. He was up in Waco, and he was staying in the woods. He really was. He had different campsites around the county and in Alabama where he was staying.
Didn't want to get caught.
No, he did not.
We talk about, with you guys, we talk about fentanyl a lot and drugs a lot. Do you guys recall your first fentanyl experiences? And were you aware of it? Had you already been educated on it a little bit before you had that first hands-on experience?
So, yeah, we knew about fentanyl whenever it first started to get really popular around Carroll County, at least. We knew about it. We started getting the fentanyl gloves. Then we started getting, you know, issued Narcan to have on us. But my first arrest on fentanyl, I remember it's kind of a funny story. So I stopped a dude. The guy that had it was a passenger. He looked like he was under the influence. I started talking to the driver. As I'm talking to him, I saw the passenger sitting there. He took his hat off, and a dollar bill that was folded up really tight fell out of the back of his hat. And so I went and asked him about it, and he was deceptive about what it was and everything. So the driver gave me consent to search the vehicle, and inside it was a white powder substance. Well, at that time, you know, all we had heard was, you know, if you just open it up, it's going to get on your skin. You're going to absorb it. It's probably going to
kill
you.
We don't talk about that enough, but I'm assuming that's still accurate. We don't repeat that enough, but I do remember when it first happened that, you know, there was a reason to be concerned for you guys.
Yeah, definitely still is. But at that time, I remember I had a respirator, and I put a respirator because I didn't know. So I put that on to go and retrieve it once I figured out what it was. Obviously, I had my gloves on. But now it's, you know, not – I say it's not that serious because we see it and we know how to – handle it better, but still, it is very dangerous.
Did you ever think it was going to blow up like this? Did you think it was just some kind of passing fad, or did you guys expect that it was going to become a big deal?
You know, you'd think that with the amount of overdoses that we have off of it, that people would be like, huh, maybe we shouldn't do that. But the fact is drug users are always chasing that euphoric high. The highest they ever got was the first time, and they're going to continue to chase that high. So whenever there's a more potent drug than what they're normally using, like heroin, like fentanyl is more potent than heroin. If they're a heroin user and they get a little bit of fentanyl, now it's tearing it up some more. So they're going to keep going on it.
Before I ask, there's also a more explosive version of it called carfentanyl. But do you guys look at the Narcan? Are you happy about it, but a little ticked off about it? I mean, do you have mixed emotions, mixed feelings about the Narcan being out there and people being able to use that?
No, I think it's a good thing. At the end of the day, that person, if they overdose and somebody can save their life, then maybe that's a second chance they can get to change things around for them. I know we were talking earlier, we see people overdose 10, 15 times, same person. Maybe the one day they'll learn and they'll stop using and they'll get their act together. But with them having it, it just, if their buddy can give them that fentanyl or that Narcan before we get there, then that may save their life. Because if it takes me 5-10 minutes to get to you, that could be 5-10 minutes too long.
They're all prepared. I mean,
they are all prepared. We see it in just about every car you search, every house. There's Narcan.
Does that, finding Narcan in a car, does that give you a right to search it? Does that give you probable cause or anything?
No.
Okay. And I mentioned before, you know, just a little while ago, carfentanyl. I'm guessing it's relatively new. It's the first I heard about it was this morning from you guys. You want to tell us about that, the story behind carfentanyl?
Yeah.
grab it. So basically, it's just a lot more potent. So, you know, you got heroin, it's the base opiate, and then you got fentanyl, just another more extreme than heroin opiate, and then you got carfentanil that's like 100 more times stronger than fentanyl. So it's out there. We don't see a lot of it. I've never seen it personally. I've just heard people talking about it, and I've heard that it's in Carroll County, but once again, we've not seen it yet. But once again, that's probably going to be one of those things that, you know, fentanyl is going to be a thing of the past, like heroin kind of is. And then we'll be rocking on carfentanil, you know, hopefully never, but unfortunately, it's just the nature of the beast.
Is meth a thing of the past now?
No. You've got people that still use meth. You still got people that use a combination of meth and marijuana, you know, to get really accelerated, and then the marijuana will bring them down. You see that a good bit, that they use a combination of drugs, you know, meth and then a depressant. So
we're not seeing the factories or whatever that they use, the
meth labs.
The meth labs.
Things.
We're not seeing those anymore.
No, never seen one personally. But
I mean, I remember, you know, probably 4, 5, 6. I mean, the first year that I was doing this job, I remember, you know, people finding those and the shake and bake method.
Right.
I mean, that's not happening anymore because you're buying it.
Yeah. Now, meth is so cheap now. You can buy it much cleaner meth from conversion labs. It comes over in liquid form. They have these large conversion labs, and it drove the price down because it flooded the market. So it would probably actually cost them more to make it at home and have these labs than it'd be to just buy it.
So you're having a conversation with Josh, and you were talking about fentanyl test kits. I mean, I guess the users of fentanyl have those, or I'm sorry, the users of opioids or,
right.
or heroin.
Yeah, so it's been a couple few weeks now. We actually did a search warrant on a residence that was a actual heroin user and pusher, and that individual and his clients chased pure heroin. They didn't like fentanyl. So what they did is they had a huge grocery sack full of Narcan, and then they had another grocery sack full of like fentanyl test kits, and or they're either testing to see if it had fentanyl or didn't have fentanyl, whatever you're chasing. But they were premium, like just wanted heroin.
Yeah,
so.
Well, so those are out there now then. I mean, is that something you buy that off of Amazon or what?
I don't know where I've never looked for it, but on the shelf, I'm sure you can, I mean, you can get it about it anywhere, Narcan and test strips and all that stuff. I'm sure you can get it off the internet for sure.
And if you find that in somebody's house, is that enough reason to
Nope, sure not.
Wow. What do you think about those laws?
It is what it is.
Yeah. All right. Time right now is 8:52. We're going to take our final break and come back and continue our conversation with a gentleman representing the ACE unit. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guests are with ACE, the Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit, multi-agency unit consisting of Carrollton Police Department members, Carroll County Sheriff's Office deputies, and University of West Georgia Police. Good morning to those of you checking in this morning. We got Joe Nelson checking in. KISS 102.7 is watching us this morning. Chris Dyer, Connie Smith, Zoe Evans. Perhaps one of you guys know her. Of course, Ashley Halsey and Dan Dixon. And Ashley texted me something here a second ago. I don't know if it's a question. You guys also do a lot of community involvement programs and demos at schools. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yep, that's going to be.
Well, one thing I'll touch on that he probably won't. So Kent also has a unique skill set. It's actually a pretty tough certification to get. He's a drug recognition expert. So for
it's a really long process, a really difficult process. There's not that many in the state, are they? That's something you can touch on.
I think there's less than 250 in the whole state of Georgia.
And what does that entail? I mean, as far as drug recognition expert, I mean.
It's a very long course. It's like 160 something hours. Then you go to Jacksonville and spend a week down there seeing people under the influence of all different types of drugs.
That's you, the experts. You see them and identify.
Correct. Correct. So you see how people react to certain drugs, the different drug categories that they may be on. Plus, then you have people that are on multiple different drug categories and how that changes their body behavior and how, you know, they act and respond to your questions.
And I'm interested. I mean, I want to push that a little further, but I don't want you to say something that makes somebody say, "Oh, I want to feel that." So yeah. I don't want to seem like I'm encouraging anything like that. When you guys do a stop, what are some of the more obvious signs that you're looking for to have suspicion that something might be going?
So, like from my perspective, being a drug recognition expert, I can see certain things that would tell me that, you know, maybe they're on something just from standing out the window and talking to them. How dilated are their eyes? Are their eyes constricted? Their pupils is what I'm talking about there. Are they sweating and it's 30 degrees outside? You know, that's kind of an obvious one that you'll see. You know, how fast are they talking to me? How slow are they talking to me? Things of that nature can really tell me if that person may or may not be under the influence of a narcotic or stimulant or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. And, I haven't been pulled over in a long time, but I may do it too quick. I'm putting my hands out the window, when I see the officer behind. Is that giving me away too? Is that like too much over
no.
the top?
No, I think, you know, like I told you earlier, you know, you got normal traffic stops and then you got abnormal. And the more normal traffic stops you log into your brain as gain that experience, you'll know abnormal when you see it. It's kind of hard to explain, but if you were to ride with me for 100 traffic stops and we had one that just really, you know, stuck out, you'd be like, that was something weird about that guy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's like an onion. You know, we can't extend a stop unless we have ARS, which is articulable reasonable suspicion, to believe that there's criminal activity afoot. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, that's really easy when you're experienced as myself or Deputy Addison or Deputy Kent here or some of the other guys that, you know, are not mentioned here today. But it's really easy to get. It's not a hard thing to get to expand that stop and see if there's criminal activity afoot. And I've went as far as, you know, fixing to pull them out of the car and search their car and then something be like, nah, this ain't it. This guy's just really nervous because, you know, he's just nervous to be around the police, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, I've been all the way up to that point, you know, asking him to kind of search his car or, you know, maybe getting a canine out there or something. And I'm like, no, this guy's really nervous.
Well, aside from his impressive certification, how often are you guys training? I mean, because I guess there's new things that you have to be on the lookout for that, you know, another jurisdiction may have learned or California may have learned or something.
I think you always need to remain a student. You can never put training aside. I kind of took this first, you know, 6-8 months I've been in the ACE unit to kind of really do ACE unit things. But I think next year, 2024, we got some big things lined up and we're going to continue to train.
I love to have you guys on every couple months. I mean, you know, Chad, throw some guys together. I mean, there's more than just four, right, in the ACE unit.
Yeah, we're actually going to
be. These are the ones that speak better, these guys?
No, it's just they're all good. You know, of course, they talk about Deputy Addison, who's in sniper school this week. At some point, we probably need him on here. I mean, he is a face for radio.
Is he?
So, yeah.
I love hearing that. That's great. We all love that phrase. Thanks, Chad.
Well, I know Jeff's listening somewhere at some point today. So these guys, they really do. They train a lot, not just in their narcotic skill set, but also the tactical skill set. We try every other Wednesday, we're together, and we try to dedicate some time to train in some aspect, whether it is tactical training, firearms training, some type of procedural training, current trends, whatever that may be. Because he's exactly right. You've got to be a constant student because you want to constantly be growing because the trends change. They train to change constantly. Mm-hmm. And these guys are kind of on the cutting edge of that because they're at the front line. What are the current drugs out? They need to know that when they come in contact with it in the door, you know. Just like we talked about switches on Friday, those Glock switches that turn them into, like, to me, that's a devastating weapon for a guy like this. When you can send 30 rounds through a car window in a matter of seconds. Mm-hmm. That's so these guys have to be really sharp all the time. There's very, very – there's just no room for error.
Guys, thank you for doing what you do. And thanks for coming on the program this morning. Thank you for watching. Tomorrow, I think we have Oak Mountain Academy on the show, Josh. Is that the plan?
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.